This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Keep us, O Lord, constant in faith and zealous in witness, that like your servants, Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley, we may live in your fear, die in your favor, and rest in your peace. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. You may wonder why I begin with a prayer about Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley. They are two saints whose feast day happens to fall on November the 16th. And I had a recent experience concerning their life that I would like to share as we begin. You know that I just returned with Dee from this intensive study of C.S. Lewis in Oxford and Cambridge. It was a wonderful experience, and while we were in both cities, the lecturer would lecture in the classroom in the morning at the college, and then in the afternoon, we would go out to the places connected with C.S. Lewis's life. Well, on this particular day, he lectured about the group of people who would join with C.S. Lewis on a regular basis, called the Inklings, they called themselves. You might know one of them by the name of J.R.R. Tolkien, who was a close friend of C.S. Lewis's and was also a member of this group, along with Charles Williams and some others. They would come and they would go to a pub. And if we put up the first slide, this is the intent of that field trip on that day. Now, when I saw the syllabus for the course, sounds interesting to me, we're going to take a field trip to the pubs. And this particular one, called The Eagle and the Child, The Bird and the Baby, as it is nicknamed, was where the Inklings would meet on a regular basis. And so we would walk to these places. On this particular day, it was round trip, about a 6-mile walk. I felt like I was on a true St. Joseph's type of pilgrimage with all the walking that we did. But if you go to the next slide, there is a corner there, and it's hard to see with the glare on the photo, but in the middle right, there is a photo of C.S. Lewis, and it was that particular corner that was sort of the Inklings' corner where they would gather. Now, what was interesting about this particular day was that as we walked, led by the professor and his wife, to the Eagle and the Child pub, we came to a point where there was this monument, if we go to the next statue, and we had to stop there because there was a traffic light. And I looked up at the monument, and I saw that it looked like there were some sort of saints who had statues depicted around it. Curious as I was, I start looking for the plaques and suddenly realize this is the spot, very close to it, where Hugh Latimer, Nicholas Ridley, and Thomas Cranmer were all burned at the stake by Bloody Mary because they would not recant and say that Protestantism was wrong and that they would remain Roman Catholic. The light changes, and the professor just wants to proceed on to the Eagle and the Child pub. And I'm saying, whoa, wait a minute. This seems to me to be a little bit more important. You go to the next slide, and you can see it's just right there out in the middle of the intersection. Go to the next slide. Now, close by, there is a plaque that it's hard to read as it's inscribed on this stone, but it says that nearby there is a cross that indicates the exact spot where they were burned at the stake. You go to the next slide, and you see. This is in the street. Now go to the next slide and you get a perspective as to where this is, right in the middle of the street. You go to the next slide and you really get a perspective. There's a cafe where you go and you can get your little Starbucks coffee, and right behind it is the spot where back in the 1500s, three of the church's saints were burned. These were incredible people who were in the church at difficult times. The story goes that Latimer and Ridley, who were burned at the stake together, they were both bishops. They were speaking out against the abuses in the church. Mary had this deformed idea that because they had said that Henry VIII's marriage could be annulled, that that made her to be an illegitimate child. Well, they end up being burned at the stake. Latimer is said to have said, as they were being ready to be burned, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and be a man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." That same spot is where Thomas Cranmer, the author of the first book of Common Prayer, of which our prayer book is a descendant, he was burned at the stake. He had recanted and said that everything about Protestantism was wrong. And when he was going to be burned, he had signed a paper to that effect, and he said that that was the wrong thing to do. And so the story goes, as he is being burned at the stake, he puts his right hand into the flames and says, "I have sinned in that I signed with this hand what I did not believe with my heart." Horrible times in our church. But these people become some of the fathers, just as we have many mothers of the what is now the modern Church of England. And here we are proceeding on to a pub, and there is this, what to me is one of the most important pilgrimage sites in the city of Oxford. It is important for us to reconcile with the importance of our past. And I think that is the first thing that we can learn from the readings we have today. We have this incredible story of Jacob wrestling with God from the book of Genesis. An important story, and there are many important things we learn from it, but I want, in regards to what I'm saying about this past, it's important for us to reconcile with what Jacob has to deal and reconcile with his own past. He's a scoundrel. His whole life pretty much has been that way. And he's finally to the point, 20 years later, when he wants to go back and be reconciled with his older brother Esau. Now, we need to remember what happened 20 years ago to get the impact of what happens here. Remember, he wants to steal his older brother's birthright. And so he goes to his father, and his father, who can hardly see, says to him, "Who are you?" And he says, "I am Esau." He pretends to be who he isn't. He lives with this for 20 years. It is very intentional that as he wrestles with this angel of God, the question is then asked of him, "Who are you? Who are you?" And 20 years later, he faces up and he says, "I am Jacob." This limp that he has given as a result of his hip injury perhaps is the reminder to him of the way in which his weakness now, like St. Paul, becomes his strength. To move forward, for him to go home finally after all these years, to be reconciled, just like for us, there must be a recognition of who we are, what we have done, and what we have failed to do. And so that is what we learn from Jacob in the story. But we move on to more about persistence, about that which God calls us to continue to do. We hear about it so much in the readings today. We hear it in the Collect. We hear it in Timothy, who tells us that we must be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable, telling us to be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and carry out our ministry fully. So how do we do that? Well, persistence. And we get this great parable that tells us the same message in a very powerful way. Now, the good news about this parable is, you know, usually Jesus tells a parable and then the disciples and we have to figure out, well, what's the meaning? Well, Luke gives it away. Luke tells us what it means before he tells us the story. Jesus told his disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. So if you take nothing else away today, there's the message, the words of Jesus. Pray always and do not lose heart. This is what the parable is about. And so he goes on and tells us about this woman, a widow. And it's intentional, the power versus powerlessness that he draws out here. A widow, the most powerless person in that society. And besides that, whatever means that she had been left with now have somehow been taken away from her. So she has nothing. She symbolizes total powerlessness. And on the other hand, we have this unjust judge who cares nothing about God or human beings, but is the symbol of total powerfulness here. And what continues to go on, as it does throughout Luke's gospel, is that the powerless people, the world is turned topsy-turvy in God's world. And so, because of her persistence, she is able to overcome the one perceived in the world as powerful. This is an important lesson. It is important for us. We began in Luke's gospel with the same idea. There was another powerless woman by the name of Mary carrying the Son of God in her womb. And what in her frightened, threatened state does she proclaim but her Magnificat? My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, proclaiming that God casts down the mighty from their thrones and lifts up the lowly. It is this reversal that our persistence is meant to help bring about in the world. It is this persistence that she continues to symbolize for us in her story. It is God's idea for us not to necessarily be successful, but for us to be persistent. It is this call that we are given in a world that we don't have to go very far beyond the walls of this church to find people who are unjustly treated, to find people who are oppressed, powerless, humble, in need. Perhaps it's appropriate that today is Episcopal Charity Sunday for us. There are so many opportunities for us to help to bring about this inbreaking of the kingdom that Jesus proclaims through this and other ways in Luke's gospel especially, that we are called to help the powerless to become powerful, that we are called to recognize our past, to live in our present and help to move towards the future that this woman calls us to and Jesus calls us to bring about the kingdom of justice and compassion and peace. May we be willing in our own lives to pray always and not lose heart. Amen.